Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Rooks, and got a special guest in the studio today, Mark Burnett, pretty much a legend in a lot of different things, but basketball for sure. And Mark, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio today.
Good to be here with you, Sam.
Man, you've been on my list for a long time, and everybody tells me I say that to everybody, but I don't. I've had you penciled in for a while, and you're retired now, so it gives you a little bit more opportunity to do things like this.
Yeah, it will. It gives me more opportunity to hide too.
You've done a fair job of that, I must say. But I finally pinned you down on Facebook and got you in here. So I plan on getting you in here a little bit more, just to talk about sports every now and then. You open to that?
Yeah, sure.
It'd be great, man. I appreciate it. Mark, known you for a long time, man.
Since you were little.
Yeah, since I was little. And you've always been a lot taller and larger than me as far as size is concerned. And maybe a little older, but not too much. But, the folks out there, a lot of people around this area know you. But, you know, this goes out to the Upper Cumberland and everywhere across the state of Tennessee. Right. And then also on podcasts. So there might be somebody somewhere in another country that don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. So let's tell them a little bit about Mark Burnett. And who you are.
Okay. Well, I grew up in East Tennessee. I'm Tennessee, born and raised in Alcoa, Tennessee, and was there pretty much until I came to Tennessee Tech at the age of 18. Played Alcoa High School. Oddly enough, I went to several schools in Blount County growing up. I started out at Hall Elementary School, which was before integration. So first through the fourth grade, I was there. Fifth grade, I was at Fort Craig Elementary School. And then I was at Maryville Junior High. Believe it or not, went to Maryville Junior High, played some basketball and football there, and then came to Alcoa High School, played basketball, obviously, and then on to Tennessee Tech.
All right, let's circle in on your family a little bit, because okay. I've known you for, I know a few of these things, but a lot of people don't. Seven or six
there were seven
brothers and sisters
five,
in the family,
five,
seven total.
Five boys and two girls. The five boys were born first. I was the fourth of five, and then two girls were born. My sister Sue lives here in town and worked at Tennessee Tech. Also, her husband Anthony works for UPS. Knows him.
Oh yeah,
everybody
oh, yeah.
knows him. But yeah, it was interesting growing up. I spent from the eighth grade to I graduated from high school. I actually lived with my grandparents, James and Imogene Burge, and so we called him Pop. He was our father. For lack of a better term, our mother and father had divorced when I was fairly young. So we pretty much everything centered around my grandfather and grandmother, who were church people, Baptist. I grew up Baptist. My grandfather was a deacon in a Baptist church, and we went to church every Sunday. There was and literally my grandfather picked up all of the kids in the neighborhood on Sunday morning whose parents would let them go to church. We had a 1972 Ford station wagon, which back then, to me, was long as this building, and I thought I had a lot of cousins. But it was actually just people my grandfather knew from relationships at Alcoa Aluminum, where he worked in the pot room and that kind of thing. So it was a company town, still is in a lot of ways, still a company town. But that's where we grew up, and everything revolved around either Alcoa Aluminum or sports or church. I mean, it was always that kind of thing. So everybody close knit. Knew everybody.
Before I forget, I've got it. You mentioned Anthony. How in the world have you stayed away from playing golf? knowing him.
Well, I know he's played forever, but nobody's ever told me he was good. So I haven't gone.
He can't teach you nothing.
So I haven't gone. He can't teach me.
I so hope he hears this. I'm going to have to call him when it comes out just so he can hear that. That's awesome. Gosh, a big family, man. Golly, I tell you what, Seth, we had five. Mm-hmm. In the family, and there were two girls. Right. So it must have been five boys and then the two girls.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a protection system, I'm sure.
Well, the first one did. you have five boys born first, and we're playing ball and doing different things together. And Sue came along roughly 6 years after me. So, and I have a brother in between, a brother that's a year younger between us. And so we didn't know what to do with a girl. I mean, literally, we put her on a shelf. And so to this day, And I'll say this on there. I don't think she can ride a bike or swim or any climb a tree. But then we figured out with the baby sister, Pam, now she's rougher than all of us because we just say, well, you can tackle them and you can hit
them.
They're not going to break. And so we treated her kind of like another boy. But Sue was the one that we put on a shelf. We didn't know what to do with a little girl.
Yeah. Golly, I can imagine. We talking to Mark Burnett, Alcoa fame and legend, of course, Tennessee Tech basketball. And we'll get into that. But, you know, how was it around the house? I know you live with you grew up with your grandparents, you mm-hmm. know, and you talked about your mom and dad divorcing. How strong of an influence to you was your mother growing up?
My mother was, you know, just to tell you, my mother was a very strong individual. She spent some time, she worked at places like Levi's and different places. And, you know, for a short time, we lived in like what would be today, they call public housing. We called it projects, but she was a very strict disciplinarian and, you know, we have to get up every morning. She had breakfast ready for us, and she sent us off to school. And one thing I would really credit my mother with was she always brought us books. Now, she was a part-time kindergarten teacher at New Providence Church in Maryville, right across from Maryville High School. But she always brought us books. And whatever we needed to be better, she brought those things to us. We also went to the boys' club, and that's where I first played sports, was at the boys' club in Maryville. So she always kept us involved. You know, we didn't sit around and do nothing. You didn't do those things. You were always involved with something. And our grandfather, again, my mom's dad and her mom, you know, who I ended up living with eventually, you know, they were just very devout Christians and, you know, everybody had to walk a line.
Well, I know that's very important to you, and I've known that for a long time. You know, you can just tell. Anybody who knows you, you know, knows that the Lord's very important in your life. And, you know, we have conversations around that, and I got to be careful when I talk about this because my views are my views.
Yes, you know, that's right. Everyone's are. They're,
you know,
their own.
I'm on the education side and watching students grow up from a younger age all the way through a K-12 system.
And, yes.
And people say to me all the time, and we discussed this before, you know, kids have really changed these days. And I don't believe that. I've said it. I've been in interviews with other folks before, especially
right.
coaches.
Yes.
And talk about this very same thing. But my view is kids haven't changed. It's how they're raised at home that has changed. What's your point of view on that?
That is my point of view on that, is that they haven't changed so much. We look at them and say, well, they've changed. No, the parents, we've changed. Sometimes I look at my own and say, you know, I made life a little easier for them because I didn't want them to struggle with
right.
or not have some of the things we had. But, you know, I think there's even a line with that. I think it's okay for them to feel like they have to earn things that, you know, the struggle is part of the reward. So,
right.
you know, I always make sure when they played sports, I worked them to death because it's like, you know, if you don't want that reward, then here's what it takes. And you got to work. You got to, you know, nobody's going to give you anything in this world. And so you got, but I think, you know, we eased up on our discipline system in some ways. And I can't elaborate on that, but I just think we've eased up on so many things because we want them to be okay. We want to, you know, we want to treat them well. We spoil them. Everybody yeah. spoils their kids. I don't have anything against that, but there are things that we don't do that were okay for us.
That's a pretty good description of my thought process okay. too. It's not, we've not done it for the wrong reasons.
No,
and I
no,
look at
not
my
at all.
Kids and I've done the same type
yeah.
things that you have. You know, in requiring my daughter to take trash out, you know, as a chore is not anything big at all compared to what my daddy,
yeah.
you know, expected of us to do. And, but I will say this when sometimes when you deal with parents today and they come into a setting, maybe something negative has happened. The first thing some parents want to do is blame the educator or the coach
system,
on what has
yeah.
happened or the system on what's happened to their child. My dad, if I got called, he got called into my school and I got a whooping at school, I was getting a whooping by him. There,
exactly.
Hey, two rules. Here's sum it up. Two rules in my house. The teacher and the coach is always right. Rule number one.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number two, if the coach and the teacher are ever wrong, see rule number one. That was it, man. That
yes.
was it, and
well,
I knew it.
You know, Simon, it's just like talking about Christianity and spirit, beliefs and spirituality. You know, church didn't start at church. Church started at home. And so if you have church at home, if you have it in the home, then the rest of it, you know, gets progressively a little bit easier. But when we came up, I remember first church being at home. grandfather and my mother and everybody. I mean, there was the Bible, and it was used. There, you know, it didn't collect dust on the coffee table and all this stuff. You know, they read things, and they told you things, and they explained things. I remember my grandfather had a rule in our house that if it starts storming, everything went off. TV, nobody was on the phone, nothing. He'd say, be quiet and sit and listen to the Lord work.
Wow. That's
so
awesome.
When you grow up like that, you know, you come back to it. Yeah, I have as a human being, I've not always acted like I knew those things.
Right.
But I've never forgotten those things.
Yeah, but you know, that was your foundation.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people say nowadays, that the country was built on a foundation many years ago based on In God We Trust.
That's right.
And we seem to be getting away from that. You know, we're talking politically now, and I didn't want to do that in the sports show, but it does have something to do with the way we were brought up and the way kids possibly are being brought up nowadays. And, you know, I'll just say this. I think if we all acted a little bit more like Jesus every day, it'd be a lot better place, you know.
It's like of course, Martin Luther King's birthday this week, and celebrating him and everything. And, you know, one thing that he said that really caught my attention, when he was talking about all of the things and civil rights and all that, which was about all people. It wasn't just about African-Americans. It was about all people being treated equally. You know, he said, if our country just got to where it acted like it was founded to do, we'd probably be okay.
Yeah,
but we've morphed so much into other different things and all that. But again, and his comments about hatred, you know, he said he'd rather side with love because hatred's too big a burden to carry.
Yeah,
we were taught that. When I grew up, my grandfather said, "I do not care what you do," but he said, "You treat everybody with respect and dignity because you're no better, you're no less, but you're no better." And here's a man who grew up in 1940s, 50s Georgia.
Right.
I saw some atrocities I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Just because of the color of his skin.
Yeah.
But he told us, do not treat anybody with disrespect.
See, and that's good rules to live by. And I think our society would be in a lot better place if we still lived that way and had that. But, that's easy to say. And I'm sure there's other people out there that disagree with that.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's why we live in America.
Yeah.
So, you know,
everybody has an opinion.
Yeah, and boy, I tell you what, we went in, the first segment went in pretty deep. I'll try and pull back out of there in the second segment. Today we're talking to Mark Burnett, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again with Mark Burnett in the house. We were finishing up talking about you getting into sports and in Alco. You said you went to Maryville Junior High. Now, I know enough. I'm close enough to Maryville. Worked with them, played against them as far as coaching and stuff like that. And I know there's a rivalry there with Maryville and Alcoa, to say the least, knowing Gary Rankin like I do.
Yeah.
And I know that's kind of a situation. So you went to Maryville Junior High and then ended up in Alcoa. How'd that
school
happen?
Well, I was moving in with my grandma. Again, my mother had seven of us. So, and I had been around my grandfather. I really admired my grandfather. He was my father figure, period. And so I wanted to live with them. And I had started out in Alcoa, of course, early elementary school and all. And so I was going to transition back. My younger brother, they were at Maryville and this kind of thing. So, my mom relented and said, well, yeah, you can move back in with them if you like, if they want you. And so we had several conversations, and we were very close. And so I knew he would likely let me live with them. That was in eighth grade. And so what happened was, and nobody really knows this story outside my family until now, Maryville contacted the TSSAA to keep me from playing that year, and which they did keep me from playing. I sat out a year. So I didn't play sports again actually till the ninth grade. Mm. And so I missed a whole year of sports moving back into my grandparents' house.
Now, so what I call middle school up there, was it seventh and eighth grade?
Yeah, it was like seventh and eighth. I guess back then it was seventh, eighth, and ninth. Maybe.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So they actually, 7, 8, and 9 would be the middle school. So you didn't get to play in eighth grade.
No.
Okay. So, but you still got to play your ninth grade in middle school before you got into high school.
Yes.
But then you moved to Alcoa. Yeah. And so it was set that that's where
you were. And we would have been set at Maryville because, Danny Spradlin and I, that's the point at which I actually technically quit playing football. But Danny Spradlin, who you probably remember from UT fame and Dallas Cowboys and all, we were kind of the split tailbacks.
Wow.
So it would have been interesting.
What size were you back in eighth, ninth grade?
I was pretty good size. I was bigger than the lineman, pretty much. So, and he was too. He was huge. And he was bigger than me. So, you know, and we were the backs. And so Lynn Brown, TSSAA, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and Archie Anderson, they were the coaches.
Wow.
And so, but I just, you know, I moved back and actually went through all the way through two-a-days as a running back as a sophomore at Alcoa, and then just decided I didn't want to play football.
So it was your sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
So how tall were you at that time, probably?
I was at least 6'1".
Okay. So you hit a growth spurt right after that.
About 6'1", about 170.
Wow. That's good. So you decided football wasn't going to be your thing.
Well, it's not my thing.
And I actually didn't even know you made it that long. I knew you basketball was your thing when you came to Tennessee Tech, but I didn't realize you made it in football that long because, you know, Mario, we tried to get Mario to come out and play.
It was not his thing.
Long time.
It was not his thing. But I played them all, baseball.
Yeah.
You know, everything. My first football, I played at the boys. I was the quarterback at the boys' club.
Imagine that. I would have probably predicted that. Quarterback or tailback one?
I was the quarterback. Yeah.
So, undeniably, your love for basketball was just that much stronger, or you knew that was going to be your future?
It was. I thought it was going to be my future, although even when I quit playing football, I had one or two football offers. TSU had offered me and a couple other places to play because they knew I had played. And even baseball, when I came to Tech, Coach Mays knew that I had played baseball at some point, too. And so...
So that, you know, that's interesting. You know, I do a little recruiting business on the side with CSA Prep Star, and that's very unusual that a Division I like TSU back in the day now.
Oh, they were tough.
You know, they were tough. So here you are, a basketball player at Alcoa, and a football team makes you an offer. That's unheard of, but they knew you had the talent. What was the conversation?
And there were some connections. Albert Davis, who had played there and been All-American and went on to the pros and all that. Of course, he grew up he's from Alcoa. Product from Alcoa and everything, and he had me, you know, talking to them and everything. So it was like, you come here and play football, or and all through my high school career, basketball. I mean, all the opposing coaches would always ask, "Why is he not playing football?" They'd ask the coaches. Loudon, I'll never forget Loudon High School asking our principal one night, said he would be playing football if he was here. So, you know, but, you know, I didn't even think about it twice.
It's not like they didn't want you to. So.
Right. So it was interesting, but I have that background. Baseball was actually the first sport I played.
Wow. Okay, I got to ask you now, which one were you best at? I'm assuming, but.
You know, they would have probably been equal.
Really?
As far as I was concerned, yeah. I was baseball, you know, growing up, Little League and a little bit of Babe Ruth. I mean, I was on all the all-star teams in the region and all that. Football, I was on everything. I mean, I just picked. I just said, you know, basketball.
So I guess baseball ended after Babe Ruth.
You did.
Yeah,
fairly on. 14,
that's kind of what
15.
Happened to me.
Yeah, yeah, I just
I love
didn't
baseball.
Have time.
Love baseball.
Yeah, I didn't have time.
All right, so let's hit that. You brought that up. Let's hit that right now real quick. So when – I say we, when you're just a tad older than I am. When we were growing up, the AAU, what we call AAU now, was not as it developed. But your son, when he came through, it was much more developed.
Yes.
And it kind of causes, and I've talked to several college coaches about this, and, you know, their most 90% of their take on it is they would love to have kids that play multiple sports. They encourage them to play multiple sports.
Right.
How do you feel about AAU now and how the time requirements that it puts on kids? What's your thoughts there?
Well, as long as kids have time for school, for their school stuff, and a lot of it's in the summer, so, but as long as they have time for school, because academics is first, and they're not injury prone. If you've got a kid who's injury prone, I don't think they need to play year round. They need a downtime.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then my philosophy on watching AAU a lot of it today, I kind of have a philosophy like Kobe Bryant once said, and that is, at least with basketball, I'm not sure how much they're learning. You know, you watch some teams, they get all the talent they can get from around the country, and then they throw them out there. And
just playing, man.
And they're just going up down the floor like we would do on Saturdays when we played. I mean, and so pickup, it looks like pickup sometimes. I'm not sure, and again, this is just me talking, I'm not sure how much they're being taught. I think you really have to have good coaches to teach sports. You see a lot of athletes today. In my opinion, I see a lot of athletes, but it's like you're looking at something to go, but I may not see it, but two basketball players on that team. But they got a lot of athletes, and they're just throwing up stuff, and they're, you know, if you get the biggest, most athletic team, then you win just by virtue of that, least with younger kids.
You would know what that means, saying a lot of athletes out on a basketball court, and if you would know which one of them are athletes.
Yes.
You know, and that makes a difference, because when you're a part of a team, you know, the expectation is you're not just an athlete. Like, you were a very good shooter, you know, but you were also an all-around good athlete on the basketball court.
You know, I would watch kids. When I coached, even, I coached girls and boys at AAU, and I said, you know, I don't have to have the most athletic kids, but I always wanted to have kids who could learn basketball, the fundamentals of playing defense, how to be down in the stance, how to do different, how to anticipate things. I was, you know, the thing, and if you watch me play, I prided myself most on being a little more cerebral with it, because I would study, you know, if Sam Brooks wants to go right every time, I'm not going to let Sam Brooks go right.
Yeah, well,
I would ask my kids when I coached. I would ask them. I'd stop in the middle of a game and say, "Which hand is the person you're guarding?" They didn't know.
You didn't let me do a whole lot when I play with you, either right or left, so it wouldn't have mattered.
I just took the science of it. I like the science of sport and watching. You know, even working out. You know, how you work out and those kind of things, because we didn't work out a whole lot. I mean, you know. We didn't even have the facilities. No, I'd love to have the stuff we have now.
You remember, a lot of basketball coaches didn't want you to work out. They thought you would get too.
Thought you'd throw your shot off and all that stuff.
Exactly.
The stronger you are, the better, no matter what sport it is.
I think Kobe and LeBron have probably got them away from that thought process.
Yeah, the stronger you are, the better, because it's your body. I mean, it's your body. You can wear yourself out.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention Michael right there, too. So
yes, that's right. Yeah.
Michael Jordan's my favorite now, so don't.
Yeah, I knew that.
Of late, Kobe.
That's why I didn't bring him up.
Yeah,
you know?
Of late.
I'm a Lakers fan.
Yeah. That's right. All right. We're talking to Mark Burnett. We're going to get into some Tennessee Tech basketball talk when we return. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. Your host, Sam Brooks, again with Mark Burnett. Mark, we ended up on basketball high school. I got to make sure I touch on that a little bit at Alcoa. What's your greatest memories from playing down there at Alcoa?
Well, the greatest memories, two, were having coaches, one who just passed away recently, who just taught not only on the court, but they taught us off the court.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we had the discipline at home. I did the discipline at home. And then the discipline at school, going to a great school, Maryville and Alcoa, great schools, great teachers and all, people who would help you. And then, you know, being on the court, you know, it was a respect thing. I mean, we wore blazers.
Yeah.
We wore blazers. The high school had us wearing blazers.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't show up with our pants falling off. You wore a blazer to the games. So when you came in, you had a maroon blazer on, everybody,
mm-hmm.
the team. And we were dressed nice, and it was a respect thing. It was, you know, the thing that I remember the most was, it was about being respectful and about being respected.
Class.
Yeah. Everything was class.
Yeah. That's amazing. And you didn't, you know, I think a lot of teams back in that time frame, and we were expected to look nice too. We had blazers that we wore. So we didn't have to wear them all the time, but we wore them the majority of the time. But the expectation was you look clean, you look nice, you take care of yourself, represent the team well.
You didn't embarrass the team.
I think you still have a lot of that out there, especially some of these, players that carry themselves well and went through that themselves. They are proponents of that also. But there's a new wave also that you know didn't go to that school, I guess, if you will. It's just a little bit different. Not that it's bad.
Right.
It's just a little bit different than what we're used to. But just a kind of different way of thinking. So I'm sure you were getting highly recruited at Alcoa. The success that you guys had and the program that you had.
You know, when I was a senior, we were 29-5, and we lost in the sub-state to Chattanooga Notre Dame, who we actually had beaten twice during the season. But my other teammate, who was a pretty good scorer and all, fouled out in the third quarter. I still have a sore spot. And we're very close. We went to church together and everything. We're still close today. And I'll tease him about that. I'll bring it up every now and then and say, now I don't want to talk about it anymore. But he found out in the third quarter. So we were beaten by a team that we had beaten twice during the year. And so that ended my career. And I told my wife the other day we were talking, I said, you know, I don't remember a lot of it because I think I blacked out. I just shut it aside. But, you know, being recruited by Tech, my high school coach's daughter, one of my high school coach's daughters was enrolled at Tech. And several people from Alcoa had been to school here and everything. Yeah. So I came down and initially I turned it down. I actually looked at Grambling and a couple other places, University of Louisville to walk on. And try to play there because Wade Houston was there.
Yeah.
From Alcoa. And so, you know, looking to kind of walk on up there. But my mom being the person that she is even today at 90 years old, she said, you're going to Tennessee Tech. And I said, why am I going to Tennessee Tech? She said, you'll study and you'll be somebody. That's what my mom said.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that story with you before.
Yeah. She said, you'll study, and you know, I was thinking, I'm not going there. I actually turned it down the first time.
There was no question. And your coach was, it was?
Malpas. I had Cliff Malpas for a couple of years, and then Tom Deaton.
Tom
for a couple
Deaton
of years.
Came in. Yeah. Okay.
And so I had a great, you know, great career at Tennessee Tech, and I was the guy who believed in whatever your role was. You know, most people don't know. I mean, over 4 years playing with those guys, you know, I averaged about 10, 11 points a game average over that 4 years. Most people don't know I often guarded the best player on the other team offensively. So, yeah. You know, so I was a two-way. It was kind of a two-way deal.
Yeah.
I could score, but I had to guard that other person. And that was tough sometimes. 2 weeks ago, I had the occasion. Mike Rhodes played for Vanderbilt. Yeah. He and I guarded each other in that first game in the hoop.
Is that right?
We both finished the game with 13 points. We both played 39 minutes. We played every minute except the last minute of the first quarter. And I talked to him a couple of weeks ago for the first time.
Is that right?
Yeah. I looked him up.
That's pretty cool.
I just looked him up. I said, let me look him up.
And that's the first game in the hoop then.
Yeah.
Wow.
We beat them.
That's pretty cool. So, you know, average of 10 points over a 4-year career is pretty good. So how about your junior and senior season? I mean, I used to go watch you. You were flicking it.
Well, you know, we played in a system that was a 10-pass-and-shoot system.
Yeah.
So you didn't get to toss it up as much when you're playing in that kind of system. And, you know, it's just like my senior year, we lost 9 games by 5 points or less.
Mm.
So you're not putting the ball up, and there was no 3-point. I'd up my attempts if they'd had 3-point shot.
yeah, which is incredible. Yeah, they didn't have it.
Yeah, they didn't have it then. And so, but you know, we were rooted in defense, and you know, and running these offensive schemes and that kind. You know, we had plays. There were some fantastic guys, Sam, who never got off the bench because they couldn't run the plays.
Mm.
And that's something people don't know in general. You know, people see you play. You know, but they don't see the grueling practices and all, just like in football. They don't see the practice.
Right.
They come on Saturday and watch you play or whatever, or Monday or whatever. And you know, it's grueling.
Well,
you know,
let's throw some names out, but not names of those folks.
Oh, no, no.
Who you
some
played
people
with at Tennessee
I played
Tech.
With Pete Aubels, and yeah. I played with Bobby Porter, Butch Blaylock, Jimmy Howe. Everybody remembers Jimmy Howe.
I remember Jimmy.
And shooting with that tongue hanging out to the ground. You know, I played with Steve Taylor.
Yeah.
Perky Plumlee, Lonnie and Carlton.
Steve's daughter's on the ESPN.
Yeah, she's
people
our goddaughter.
Know that.
Goddaughter. Yeah, really? their children are our godchildren.
She does a fine job.
And ours
job.
Are theirs.
She does a fine job.
But
there,
they, you know, I played with some really good athletes.
Yeah.
There were some good guys.
Well, I think the main thing, you know, with Deaton coming in and you really set a good foundation for some success later on for Tennessee. You know, names like I go to Anthony Avery and
– yeah.
Oh gosh, Lonnie Boone,
Stephen Kite,
Stephen. Oh,
you know,
yeah,
guys,
Stephen
right,
Kite.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And they were really good athletes. When I was a senior, they were freshmen. Lonnie and Carlton were freshmen, and so we could, you know, we interacted with them quite a bit, and you know, they learned some things, and we worked hard. And you know, my senior year, which was actually literally 1982, Tom Deaton won Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
At OVC.
Yeah, yeah, I remember Coach Deaton, and of course I was a younger guy at that time, but he. You know, it was that 5-8 pass system, and you ran the plays, and it was set. And
yeah, I got pulled out once or twice for not being able to count.
But that was because you shot.
Yeah, I just got that shot. Yeah,
that's all right.
A couple of times, 5 plus 5 was 10 too.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. So what did you learn from sports? Is unique in that it teaches people, you know, more about life as time. I'm definitely hearing that from you, but not only your sports experience, but your experience with your grandfather,
yeah,
your experience coming through Alcoa and how much people appreciated athletics there on into Tennessee Tech. So what has sports done for you in your life?
You know, the thing off the court that it gave me was discipline. You know, the discipline that, to keep trying to succeed, even though you're gonna fall, you know everybody plays sports, you lose sometime. So, but to get back up after that, to not quit, you know, that's a good life lesson. You're gonna get knocked down in life. Things are gonna happen. You're gonna make mistakes, but you get back up. And sports is a really good model for that, mm-hmm. Because you have injuries. You know, I tore my ACL, had to sit out a year. You have injuries. You have all kind of things happen, and yet, if you want to keep doing it, you want to be successful, you get back up, and you know, and people support you. You know, race issues. You know, unfortunately, this country is going through some things right now for all kinds of crazy reasons. But you know, when you're playing on a sports team, if me and you're on the team, it ain't the only color it's got to do with is the color we're playing against.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing. Athletes tend to not. You don't have those issues,
yeah,
in general. You just don't have it.
If they are, they're off the court
because we're going for the same goal. And
yeah,
so you know, and so those things, you know, it's life lessons that you take away. You know, hard work. You know, I would tell my kids, work. If you're not giving 100%, you're not giving to me.
Yeah.
If you're not giving your all, I said, I sacrificed my body and everything else because I didn't know how else to do it.
Yeah.
Any coach I played for, if you ask them, if they're around and you ask them if I played hard.
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily the best guy on the team, but I prided myself on being the hardest worker.
Yeah. So you, exceptional career, you know, both high school and college at Tennessee Tech. You're graduating. Did you know what you wanted to do from that point on?
You know, when I graduated out of high school, what I wanted to be, I actually ended up I wanted to be an advertising guy, mm-hmm, marketing and advertising. I had this dream I was going to have my own magazine one day.
Wow.
And that kind of thing. Now, I ended up as an English journalism major, graduated with a degree in BS degree in English journalism, and then a master's degree in education.
So let's
EDS.
Back up. So how much of that giving you a book back when you were younger that your mom and your grandparents did.
It's everything.
How much of that led to you being in English?
It's everything.
Wow.
If you can read and write,
yeah,
you can go a long way. And I tell kids that today. I said, all this other stuff, it's good, but you got to be able to read and comprehend what you're reading and understand. You need to be able to speak because you're going to be speaking. I said, when people come in, they would interview with me. I said, you know, my grandfather always talked to us about dressing appropriately. And the lesson there was, you know, people don't see your brain or anything first. They see how you look first. And so, and I know we're not a society that's hung up on how you look, but I'm old school.
Yeah.
You know, if I go somewhere or I'm in church, I'm generally dressed. That's
sure.
Just how I was brought up. That has nothing to do with, I'm not down on anybody that doesn't.
Yeah, sure.
In fact, I don't even notice. I don't,
yeah,
but if you see me, that was important in my house. That was important because one, we didn't have that much.
Right. So, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, what you had was, you know, my grandfather would say, if you go to work on Monday and you look good, why can't you go to church on Sunday and look good? It's what I come up with. It's a culture.
So your comment on reading literacy there, it's proven that if a kid is on grade level in reading literacy by third grade, they had a 92% success of making it through 12th
grade. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all.
Because you said it,
that.
If you can read, you can comprehend.
But if you can
math.
Read and comprehend, you can do the rest of it.
Yeah.
But you got to have some kind. And my mom would let us read sitting at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Now, that's something.
That is.
We had to eat. But you if you had a book there, as long as you ate.
My daughter would like that because her book is her phone.
Yes.
So she would like that.
Yeah, luckily, we didn't have any phones.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Well, man, I tell you, I got a lot more. We're going to run out of time today, but I'm going to have you back, and we're going to pick up right
sure.
there and talk about your time at Tennessee Tech and, you know, possibly maybe some of the barriers that you ran into
yeah.
when you went into administration at Tech. I'd love yeah. to hear more about that, but I really appreciate you taking time out of your retired day to come in here and spend with me for about 35 minutes.
It's good to be with you. Always good to be with you. Known you for a long time, your mom, you know, and dad and everybody, man, always loved your family. And
yeah.
You know, if they're listening, then you know, hello to them all. Love them all. And, man, I'll come anytime you want me.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time. You have a good day. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.